Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Yay!
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Yay! I've got such good news, Ben Crenshaw. It's so good to hear your voice. And I just got to tell you, the warnings, the maritime and coastal and weather patterns, yes, no active watches, warnings, or advisories are currently in effect. Our marine coastal conditions, moderate to fresh. I want them to define fresh. Fresh trade winds. They continue with surf increasing on the north and west facing shores today. So for our golfing surfers, you'll have a little bit of surf this morning, maybe, coming up. Weather pattern, a typical dry trade wind pattern dominates, with light showers mainly affecting the Windward and Mauka areas. That's the bottom line. For the Honolulu area, National Weather Service forecasts mostly cloudy skies, though, through the weekend with sunny periods. And it looks really clear right now, but then they come in, right? High 75 to 82 and the low 62 to 69. That's why I want to have a couple of blankets. All right. And our tee times. We've got an 8:32 for you. Volcano Golf Club, 9:24, 10:48. Makalei, 8:40, 9:28, 11:08. The Penguins. What are you guys doing out of the water? The Penguins are on the course. Poipu has an 11:20, a 12:30, and a 1:10. Kauai Lagoons has an 8:50. Pearl at Kalaau'au on Oahu, there's an 8:30, a 9:48, and a 10:42. Hawaii Kai has a 9:02 and a 10:10. Turtle Bay, 8:30, 9:30, 11 o'clock. The Beach Boys, they're on the course, or will be. And then we've got Royal Hawaiian Country Club, the girls band. They're out entertaining, 8:36, 9:10, and 10:28. And Hawaii Island School Golf Team, yes, they're out on the golf course today at 8:58, 9:56, and 11:08 for anyone who'd like to play at Poipu. There is also, did I mention Poipu already? More than likely, but it's worth repeating if I could just find it on my sheet. All right. Wailea Gold Course has a 1 o'clock, and the Emerald Course has an 8:50, an 11:10, and a 1:50. The Blue Course, a 9:30, and a 1:10 this afternoon. Maui Nui has an 8:50, a 9:08, and a 10:20. And coming up right after this, Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, is with us. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club, brought to you by Pacific Repair Services, located at 540 Lagoon Drive across from JN Motors. PRS does appliance repairs, maintenance, and sales. The Newtown Driving Range, warm up before your round or wind down after work. The Newtown Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your kids to play golf, the game that lasts forever. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips in Evilay next to Costco Gas and in Waipahu. And teaching pro Claude Brousseau at the Wailea Golf Academy, Maui. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Oh, thank you so much. And here's Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, golf commentator and analyst and host of Golf Hawaii Travel and Global Golf Adventure. Of course, a member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame and a member of DePauw University's Hall of Fame. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Well, thank you, Danielle. It's great to be with you this morning on a beautiful day here in Hawaii.
It is. It is gorgeous. It feels so cool. It's nice to get underway early. A little jacket probably would help, I imagine. We do have some pretty low temperatures, around 62 in some areas in the heights, and getting a little bit warmer, around 70 as you come down into the lower valleys. But let's talk golf. The wind, the weather vane, it's moving again. PGA Tour schedule, that is. A new PGA Tour schedule. Mark Rolfing, you've got the insight on all of this. Can you tell us what's unfolding before us?
Well, I can tell you a little bit about what's unfolding. The new PGA Tour schedule is starting to take shape. There's no question about it. I've been here in Hawaii since Christmas, as you know. I was over there for Sony, and we didn't have Century, of course. But other than that, I've kind of just been watching and listening, and now I'm getting ready to head to the Arnold Palmer Invitational next week. So I'm going to be on the road here for 4 weeks in a row.
Wow.
It's pretty clear to me that something is going to happen in terms of the schedule, not next week, but the week after, and that would be the Players' Championship. The new commissioner, Brian Rolapp, is going to be doing a State of the Union press conference on Tuesday there at the Players. I do not believe he will announce a new schedule per se, but I think he will talk quite a bit philosophically about where they are headed, where the PGA Tour is headed, and he'll give us some little tidbits of some of the changes that we expect. The biggest one that I'm seeing, well, there's a couple of them. One is I see the California part of the PGA Tour headed toward later in the year. I think they're tired of the weather. We saw what it was like in L.A. We've had all kinds of weather issues over the years, and we know what Pebble Beach in L.A. can be like in January, and that doesn't really work. And so I can see those events going to August. And, in fact, I think two of the three PGA Tour playoff events will end up being played on the West Coast. The big thing that has happened here, Daniel, that everybody needs to remember is that the PGA Tour has gone to a for-profit model. They were the only major sports league that was a not-for-profit, that was all for charity. They raised more money, the PGA Tour, than all the other leagues put together. The NFL, the NBA, baseball, they raised more money than all of them put together. And the reason that that happened was because that the tournaments were formed and started in smaller markets where players, it was their hometown, or they found charities based. And so consequently, what you've ended up with now is a PGA Tour that isn't played in New York, it isn't played in Chicago, it isn't played in Philadelphia, it isn't played in Boston, it isn't played in any of the big markets in America.
That's weird.
And that's problematic when you're trying to make money. The PGA Tour is in the business of making money now. They are a for-profit organization, and just like they try to make money for the league with the NFL, that's what they're going to try to do here is make money for the league. And that's why you're going to see a big shift toward bigger markets.
Okay. A couple of things. Tiger Woods, I've heard, in Los Angeles working on the schedule. So Tiger is staying in the mix?
He's very much in the mix. In fact, I think he's quite involved from what I'm hearing. And, of course, you know, his foundation runs the event in L.A., so he's got a big say in what goes on with that thing. He's leading up a committee that is called the Future Competitions Committee, and they're the ones that are going to form the schedule. And my guess is that it's only a six-man committee. It's a pretty small committee. But it's got some very influential players on it. And I think, you know, they will make the recommendations and the policy board will ultimately make the decisions. But I see this thing taking some time. Everybody thinks, oh, my heavens, we're going to see a major shift next year and everything's going to change next year. I don't think it's going to. I think it'll be a little more staged. We will see some changes next year. I think the season will start later next year, closer to the Super Bowl. But I don't think you'll see drastic changes across the board. It's going to take a couple of years.
You think they're going to put us back on the board?
I don't know, Danielle. Uh-huh. It's interesting, you know, because of the Century situation and because there's this litigation going on, and now there's some, you know, potential remedies that are being discussed. They have to be very, very quiet, and consequently, you haven't heard a word about Century in almost 6 months now.
Uh-huh.
Ever since the tournament was canceled, the Century folks won't talk. The PGA Tour won't talk. They're the only tournament on the schedule that has got a gag order and is not saying anything.
Wow.
I don't think that's helping Century, because there are players and people that are lobbying for other tournaments. Scottie Scheffler, for example, just won the American Express. That's the week after the Kapalua event typically is held, third week in January. He is now the defending champion, and he is saying, hey, we're going to play. I'm the defending champion. And he's lobbying hard for it.
I bet.
And who's lobbying for us? I don't know. Nobody that I know of.
Oh, gosh. That's that's really sad. I mean, how long has the PGA Tour in some form been coming to Hawaii to start the season?
They've been coming since 1965.
There you go.
The Hawaiian Open, you know, really is one of the great established spots.
Yep.
On the PGA Tour. And I will tell you this, 10 years from now, as we watch this world, you know, come unhinged again in the Middle East, you're going to start seeing just how important Hawaii is as a place on the globe. And there is no way the PGA Tour should not be playing in Hawaii. They should for sure. If this schedule is staged, and if what Sony would like to do is have one more tournament, that's what they have told me. And that's what I've heard from the Sony management, that Sony only wants to do one more tournament so that they can properly say goodbye.
Nice.
There is a scenario that they might be able to do that in next year's schedule. I don't know that for a fact at all, mm-hmm. but I think it's a better chance than having Century being played in Hawaii, that's for sure.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah, you know, the PGA Tour going to the for-profit mode, it's interesting because just running down a couple of numbers here, the Genesis Invitational at Riviera Pacific Palisades, a signature event, $20 million purse. All right. The Cognizant Classic, that's underway now, Palms Beaches, $9,600,000 only. And then March comes rolling along with five tournaments, of course. Arnold Palmer Invitational, Puerto Rico Open, the Players Valspar Championship, the Texas Children's Houston Open. So I don't know what their purses are. You know, in the case of Cognizant Classic, 500 points goes to the winner. Is that why they need to go for profit? Because the purses are so high for the players?
I think that's one of the things. Certainly they had to do everything they could to combat the whole live problem that they were facing 5 years ago. I will tell you this. The future for players to get on the PGA Tour is shrinking right before your very eyes. This is the first year in almost, geez, I'm going to say almost 40 years that I haven't worked the Cognizant Classic. They had the worst field this week in the history of the PGA Tour, lowest statistically. They did not have one player in the top 25 in the world in that tournament. And I think you're going to see more and more of that. These tournaments, as the schedule shrinks and as we go into bigger markets, what they're going to have is smaller star-studded events, and I think you're going to have the PGA Tour, and then I think you're going to have a B-level tour that's sort of a tour in between the Korn Ferry Tour and the signature events, somewhere in there. You got to remember that one of the issues that the PGA Tour has right now is there are four major championships in golf. PGA Tour doesn't own any of them.
Oh.
They own none of them. You've got the Masters that's owned by the club. You got the U.S. Open that's owned by the USGA. You got the Open Championship that's owned by the Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St. Andrews.
Uh-huh.
And you got the PGA Championship, which is owned by the PGA of America. So the PGA Tour, if they're going to have a successful series of events of any kind, you've got to have the best tournaments, and they now don't have the best four. So I could see a scenario where they start looking at how do they get a hold of those events. They went to the PGA of America, Daniel, and said, hey, we'll give you $1.5 billion for your tournament. I would think the PGA of America would have to probably say, oh, that's a good idea. And they couldn't do it before in a nonprofit situation, but in a for-profit, they could.
Yeah, I can see it. Now, I've been watching the Cognizant, and yes, the field is... we're not watching PGA Tour level that we are accustomed to. But it was interesting nevertheless. It was interesting because I was watching them try to hit the mark putting. You know, and it's so I kind of learned something from and I got more into it. I don't know why. But there is this exodus now from LIV back to the PGA Tour, which seems to come at a very strange time with Brooks Koepka, wants to be reinstated if he hasn't been already. Bryson DeChambeau, I don't know, is he going to come back? He seems to love being a millionaire, billionaire maybe already. The entertainer making millions on YouTube. Patrick Reed wants to come back, leave LIV and... he wants to play DP World Tour this year before becoming eligible to play PGA Tour events. He probably wish it wasn't that way, but that's what he's going to do before he gets full membership in 2027. Eugenio Chicara returned his sponsor exemption. What does all this mean with these players?
Well, I think what it means to me is I take a look at it and I sort of see what it means is that The game itself is shifting more toward an NFL model. You got to remember, Danielle, only 4% of the people in this country play golf. Only 4%.
Wow.
That is a very, very small percentage. And that's you and me. And that's people that are really interested in the game. And we love dissecting people's putting and everything else. That's not the case with the NFL. You know, we saw 50, 60 million people watching those NFL playoff games. They are not watching to dissect whether or not, you know, a player's using the right form when he makes a catch of the football or whatever.
Right.
You know, they're rooting for teams. They're betting on games. They're doing all kinds of things that are causing them to watch. And so the golf audience is so small. That the PGA Tour feels, and I think probably rightfully so, they have to grow the game in terms of the interest. And I don't think it's going to be in the kind of diehard older golf fan. It's going to be new, younger people that are watching this thing on their phones, and it's a completely different model.
Wow. It is interesting to see how things are growing and changing, and some of them, you know, make you uncomfortable because you got so used to over the years, 50 years, seeing the PGA Tour players on the golf course, and it's for not for profit, it's for charity, and now it's all switching up and following the NFL. I don't know.
You got to remember, Danielle, that seven of the top eight guys at the PGA Tour that work there now, including the commissioner, all came from the NFL or had NFL background.
Oh.
Listen to this stat. Here's a stat for you. You know what the average lifespan, career span for an NFL player is? It's 3.2 years.
Wow.
They are expendable. They come and go. The quarterbacks are the only ones that stay for years and years. It's not at all like the golf model where when I grew up in the game and even you know, guys were playing 15, 20, 30, 40 years. Jack Nicklaus played, you know, all those Masters, Gary Player, they played for decades and went on and on. That's not going to be the case anymore. Players are going to become expendable.
That seems weird.
They're going to become a commodity, and it's pretty sad. I feel bad for the players here.
I do, too, because, the NFL model works for the NFL. I'm not sure this PGA Tour new group of guys, you know, coming from an NFL background, understand the way the folks who watch golf, okay, albeit 4% of the population, we still have a way of watching golf and wanting to see, you know, Brooks Koepka or whomever it is that you want to watch. It just seems weird what they're doing. It's uncomfortable.
It is weird, but if you take a look at the Sony Open, I mean, the TV ratings of the Sony Open showed that, you know, the number of people that were watching that was less than 500,000.
Not
even a million people were watching that. And yet you look at the NFL games and the average Sunday games now, you know, on NBC are having over 25 million people watching. Super Bowl had over 100 million. I mean, the numbers are just astronomical. And so are they going to be able to cater and keep increasing their purses and increasing how much it costs them to put on, you know, a product that nobody's watching? They're not going to be able to do that. And that's why in this new for-profit model, they're going to have to create new revenue streams, and that's all going to come from TV, and it's going to be a different model.
Interesting. Unfolding. And, you know, for those of us who have grown up with golf for a long time, we're just going to have to get used to it.
You know what? I think it'll be a cycle. I don't think I'll be around, but there'll be a time when things get back more to what we've been looking at, and people will get used to it. No, nobody likes a whole lot of change. I don't, that's for sure. But, you know, it's going to be shocking, and it's going to feel bad for us in Hawaii. I think we're going to be affected probably more than any other place on the PGA Tour. But it'll turn back around someday.
And that's a good thing. Everything, there's a cycle to everything. I'm just looking forward to seeing the... You know, I wish Liv hadn't taken everybody, but it's really good to see them coming back. You know, all the players that you could really watch and be awed by what they were doing. And that was definitely lacking when I watched over the weekend. It still is the weekend, Danielle. Thank you so much. Mark Rolfing, is there something I left off the table or on the table?
No, you did great, and I'll be looking forward to talking to you, let's say, before I head to the Masters in April.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with us. Have a wonderful weekend. Aloha. We're going to come back. Yes, we have a great lineup for you, and next on the list, Claude Brousseau. Yeah, he's going to get us on the golf course so that we're not just a 4%. We're going to grow it to 10, okay? Because golf is really good for you. And all the kids that are into golf right now, they're really enjoying it. When you see their faces, I believe that they're going to be what comes along as they get better and better and better. We're going to start seeing them competing, you know, as a for-profit. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PJ and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me? Let's go.
Come on. I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Ah, you've heard, you know, smart this and smart that. Aloha Powers smart tools. That's what we're going for. So come over, see Aloha Power's new selection of smart tools. It's time, well, you know, like on the PGA Tour or anywhere else, you got to refresh. It's time to maybe put away those big box tools, riding and walking mowers. That's where they are, Aloha Power, and chainsaws and weed whackers and trimmers and a whole lot more. And boy, service, parts and accessories for every rider inside. Yes, Aloha Power equipment. You need to go inside. There are two stores. One is right by the Costco gas station right here in Honolulu. You'll see it, big sign. The other one is in Waipahu. Another one, big sign. So from home sized to commercial sized, mow it, blow it, and bag it, and you are done. And it's all because Aloha Power Equipment's got smart tools for you.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe, and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
All right, Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Golf Digest Instructor, Director of Player Development. Yes, he is. He's the Director of Player Development in Wailea on Maui. He's ranked number one from 2019 through 2025, best teachers in the state of Hawaii by Golf Digest. He is still on that list. 2026, 2027, best teachers in every state by Golf Digest. Golf Magazine, 2026 through 2027, teachers to watch. Golf Instructions, Rising Stars. Just got that award on the 1st of November. 2025, not too long ago. That must be exciting. The only teacher in the state of Hawaii to be selected on the list. There are 52 teachers to watch. Welcome into the clubhouse, PGA Master, Golf Digest Instructor, V1 Sport Coach Ambassador, Talent Contributor, Sports Illustrated Talent Contributor, Sportsbox AI Certified, Flight Spoke Certified, Aimpoint Level 3 certified. Gosh, Claude Brousseau, you're a busy man.
Yes, I am, but thank you very much for inviting me on your show. It's always a pleasure.
I love what you said here. The most common error of the recreational golfer, they play for not missing the shot. Can you expand on that for us?
Yes, Danielle. Yes. So what I mean by that, most of the golfer, when they will, let's say, have a shot that they have, even on the tee box, they say, oh, I don't want to go out of bounds. Or if they have to go over a bunker, let's say, for the shot to the green, or they say, oh, I don't want to go in the bunker. I don't want to go in the water.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's what I mean. They play for not missing the shot instead of saying, let's say, an approach to the green over bunker or over a body of water, oh, I would put that ball in the middle of the green.
Can I, when you're playing for not missing the shot, are you actually setting yourself up for failure because you have so much expectations but you're afraid that maybe they won't come true?
Yes, that's a good way to describe it, Danielle. And I will also, just to add on what you just said, it's just that your mindset is not at the task at hand.
Ah.
I like to use analogy here in this, what I share with the golfer here. I say, okay, Danielle, you come to a restaurant. I'm your server. Would you say, Claude, I do not want salmon. I do not want chicken. Or you would say, Claude, I want a salad.
Yes.
Okay. So, but golfer, that's a kind of a making it as a, you know, a analogy or making that as a picture.
Yeah.
So you, in your mind, it's very important to decide what you want to do. The real task, I will say, or challenge in golf is not going in the water. It's putting the ball on the green. It prepares your body and your mind to play better.
Yeah, okay. So the number one factor you mentioned for optimizing distance is centerless of the strike on the face. Can you tell us where we should be going for on the club face and the ball?
Yes. You know, Danielle, how we call that? Sweet spot.
Oh, yeah.
Meaning middle of the club face. Okay? So golfer, sometimes they have a mistake thinking that if they swing faster, the ball will go farther. It's true, assuming that the contact is done in the middle of the club face. So you want to make sure that you strike of the club face on the ball happen right in the middle of the club face. So you could see sometime if you, let's say you hit a shot and then you could look at your club face and then you could see where the mark of the ball is, and then they should strive to practice to make sure that they hit in the middle of the club face.
Yeah,
very easy way to do that. You can just, there is some autocollant tape that you can put on the face, or you can just spray some powder on it, and then you will see if you're hitting it in the middle of the club face.
Yes, so that you know where. Now, keep your eye on the ball is what you hear a lot of folks say, right? Just keep your eye on the ball. Don't we worry about a lot about the swing, the backswing, how far I'm going back, and all. You know, I think sometimes we trip ourselves up by thinking too much.
Oh yes, I agree with you, Danielle. And I kind of joke with the people. I say, okay, if you have to make priority on what matters the most. I joke with them. I say, do you hit the ball with the backswing? They say, no clue. You're loading power on the backswing. Obviously, you need a functional, you know, to optimize the efficiency of the swing. But golfers should spend a lot more time on what I would call the impact position, knowing, okay, where your hands should be, where the shaft should be leaning, how did you shift your body mass, but not enough people spending time on that just because they don't have the knowledge. So they need to have a coach that explains that to them and then make them feel it, and then they should spend a lot more time on, okay, how can you as a golfer achieve a very functional impact position?
I like this. And when someone goes to, let's say you, Claude Prusseau, Wailea Golf Academy. So they should become like go to see you, knowing that you might be hands on when you when somebody does a backswing. You might encourage them with your own hands to bring it higher up or a little lower down. Do you do that?
Yes, Danielle. But I will always, as a golfer, let's say, if it's okay, I will place the club with you, so you will, let's say, Daniel, hold the club, and I'm asking you the permission. Is it okay if I swing with you?
Oh, right on.
And now I will tell the golfer, I want you to just feel where you and I are placing the club on the backswing, and then because we learn by differentiation, I will say, you see, let's say, Danielle, your club is in this position. We'll call that position A. And then it'd be more efficient if it's in position B.
Right.
Boy. And I will make you feel what you do, and then I will make you feel where it will be more efficient to do it.
Excellent, because I know I took a lesson, and the instructor said, Danielle, you know, do you know where your club actually stopped when you were in the back swing? It was like way over there. I had no idea. You know, feel is so important. Sorry, feel is so important in this game because you see, you've got your eye on the ball. Now it's all up to you to put it in the club in the right position to come down in the right angle to get that ball.
You got it, Danielle. And that's why I always use videos. So when people come and see me, I like to do video before and after, I call that. Let's say you come and I will videotape what I will call your raw swing. Your whatever you're swinging right now, we will put that on video. Okay? That will give us where you start. Then together, we will make it more efficient, and then I will do an after video, after some coaching, and then I will play it in front of you. There will be, let's say, the before at the top, and then the after at the bottom. And then I voice over, draw line, and I send you a video of that.
That's great.
Then when you go back home, before you back home in your car, the video is already in your locker that you can look, and you have it forever.
Yeah, that's great. Because you, it's it's so interesting. Sports, mostly the ball is like, I don't know, moving. And in golf, the ball is stationary. It's not going anywhere until you hit it. But so many of us have a hard time getting that, as you said, the club into the sweet spot on the ball. The ball into the sweet spot on the club, however you want to phrase it. And it's really nice to have something that shows you visually. Although, are some people uncomfortable with seeing themselves on video?
Yes, but I will always ask them, is it okay if we put you on video? And then that video will be kind of private, meaning like it's you and I looking at it.
Right.
Then
yes.
I may ask the permission to some people, do you mind if I use this video to show somebody else? And but they after they look at it, they say, wow, that's like you express. Wow, I never thought my club went that long.
Right. Are you trying to hit the ball on the other side of your body?
Yeah, I like how you put it.
All right. So you made a couple of notes here. I'm gonna read all four of them, and maybe I'm not sure if we have time for all of them. But just so people think about this, first of all, what do golfers usually do that may not be in their best interest? They don't take a strong enough club for the distance. They don't measure the length of the putts. They putt to get close to the hole instead of beyond the hole. That's an interesting one. And miss it long and on the high side of the hole. So shall we start with they don't take a strong enough club for the distance? What do you mean?
Yes, what I mean by that, Daniel, is that they will use their 8-iron when they need their 7, because they will take the measurement and then they don't put in consideration, let's say, if it's a little bit uphill, what is the trouble in front of the green, or they select the club for one time or two when they pure that shot, you know, hit it as good as they can and the distance was X. Yeah, but we don't always pure it. It's not that you think you will miss it, but you need to give yourself some room that if the ball doesn't go the correct distance, you won't be penalized. So I suggest until your ball flies the green, Daniel, not roll over, flies the green in the air, 7 times out of 10, take more club for that distance.
All right.
Because the trouble is always in the most of the time on the first third of the green, and you need to get over that trouble.
Okay. So do I need those little what look like binoculars to figure out how far that hole?
Oh, yes. Oh, oh yes, Daniel. You cannot. Why guessing when you can measure?
So, and that comes to our next one. They don't measure the length of the putts. How do you measure the length of the putt? Can you use one of those little spyglasses?
Yeah, but it's a lot easier than that, Danielle. It's what you could, but here's what I mean by that. It's more like, okay, your ball is on the green, you park your cart or you put your pole cart, you know, that you play with on the side of the green, and then you from there you go directly at the hole. Do not go at the ball. Go at the hole and walk naturally from the hole to your ball and just count how many steps you did.
Oh.
So as an example, let's say, Danielle, we did 7 steps. A step for almost everybody is 3 feet. So the ball is 21 feet from the hole. Or if you get confused with number, just work with your step. Okay, Danielle worked 7 steps from the hole to the ball, so your brain now knows that the real distance you need to roll the ball at is 21 feet.
Wow, you
then,
see?
Then the brain is a very smart machine. You will build up, let's say, some practice and some memory bank of distances. Let's say you say, oh, 7 pace, the length of your swing will match the feel of the length of the swing will match the reel that the ball has to roll 21.
You know, and I bet you if you go and practice and you figure out, you know, the steps that you're just mentioning, and you start learning your distance, you'll do much better on the golf course if you just get used to that.
Absolutely, Danielle. And it doesn't take time. You have to walk anyway to your ball. So it's just having a process. Okay, I go in the hole. Then you can also feel there which way the green is slanted in between the ball and the hole. And at the same time, you will know how far you need to roll the ball, and you will have a good idea which way the ball will curve. I use as an example, most of the golf, I mean, every golfer should measure their full shot. You just don't look over there and say, oh, it looks like 125, and then select the club. You have to have what I call a hard data. The ball has to go X.
Yeah. We do need to be much more mindful.
And then you attach the feel to that. Like people say, I'm a field player. Yeah, but I think, yeah, me too. Everybody is a field player. However, you want to match the feel with the real. What is the real? What distance you want that ball to go, even on the putting?
Wonderful. All right, and here's one. We putt to get close to the hole instead of beyond the hole. Why would I want to be beyond the hole? That's what confuses me.
Because on your first attempt, Danielle, if the ball doesn't reach the hole, there is no chance to go in. Mm. You know, you heard that cliche, never up, never in.
Okay.
So what it means that on the first attempt, the first putt, if your ball doesn't reach the hole, there is no chance that the ball will go in. Now, you want to go maybe, let's say, 15, 18 inches beyond the hole because you get a chance that it will go in.
Okay. And I like this one, too, here. This is important. You mentioned that we, the golfers, underestimate the break on the green 100% of the time.
Yes, Daniel. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
So... And then, depending on the study that you read and they did on that, they underestimate the break, Daniel, to a value of about 20%. 20% under read means that, you know, let's say you read 10 inches, but 20% of 10, that's what more you should play more break. Always play more break. The reason, Daniel, is also... Think of a hole be slanted, let's say, left to right. Okay? You see that in your head? On the green is slanted, tilted from left to right.
Got it.
Now, if you don't read enough break, curve in the ball, you will miss the putt on the low side of that slanted. You have no chance for the ball to go in. So you want to miss it on the low, on the high side.
High side.
Because gravity will make the ball go in. You remember that famous Tiger putt on 16 at the Master? Then, you know, the ball went above the hole and then trigger in. So you want to miss it a little bit long.
Yes.
And if you miss it, you want to miss it on the high side of the hole.
Got it. That's really cool. And thank you for the visuals there on Tiger Woods. That was really something. I mean, that's like on the edge of your chair moments, you know. I don't know anyone right now that is on edge of my chair. I still really enjoy watching all these guys play and girls. We've got some fabulous women golfers, and we're going to have Mary B. Porter King on whenever she has time in the next few weeks to talk about, you know, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association and all the girls that are playing and how well they're doing and where they're going to continue their education and play some golf at the same time. So another one, maybe, you know, they putt to get close to the hole instead of beyond the hole. So
we need the ball on the first attempt to go past the hole. Beyond the hole mean, let's say, 18 inches past the hole. Again, is because if your ball on the first putt do not reach the hole, you have zero chance that it will go in.
There you go. Okay. So, and then here's another one. Miss it long and on the high side of the hole.
Correct. Because when you putt, Danielle, when the green is slanted, you want to give the ball a chance to fall in the hole. And then gravity is your friend. So if you miss it on the high side of the hole, you give yourself a better chance that the ball will drop in.
Yeah.
If you miss it on the low side, meaning the green is tilted, let's say, and you miss it on the low side, the ball runs away more, and we got number on that. The ball will roll three times more distance away from the hole because the green is slanted. So miss it long, miss it high. Of course, make some too, Danielle.
That would be nice. Thank you, Claude.
Yes.
All right. Finally, not too many golfers are satisfied with the distance they hit the ball. They all want it farther. But there's also, it is a game of good enough shots and good misses. And missing shots is part of playing golf. Do you want to wrap up with kind of a synopsis of all that?
Yes, I will. I will, Danielle. So the real challenge of the game is controlling your distance. Obviously, hitting it farther with a club, it gives you a big advantage. But golfer has to realize that for them, let's say the 7-iron goes in the air 140 yards, just as an example.
Sure.
But don't try to use your 7 to go 160.
Oh, yes.
You like even the tour players, women player and men players, they know that their club, if you ask them how far goes your club for a normal shot, they will say, as an example, I'm just putting numbers there, but let's say their 7-iron goes for Rory, I didn't look at the number, but let's say you will see my 7 in the air goes 189 yards.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Now,
yes.
Yeah. So he won't try to hit it 230. He will take another club.
Right.
So for the golfer, they need to accept that when they do a good swing, this is the club goes X. Like, let's say, Chloe, my pitching wedge in the air, normal shot, goes 100 yards. If I need longer, I take another one. I don't try to make my pitching wedge go 120. I will use another club. So golfer needs to know that their club are designed for them to go X. And was the other thing on that?
Oh, no, this is perfect, you see, because I love my 7-iron and my putter. Those are my two favorite clubs. But my 7-iron, as you said, can only go so far. And so I have to get comfortable with other clubs and count on them as much as I do with my 7-iron. Why is it so, I don't know, it's like a tank. My 7-iron is my tank on the golf course.
But I like that, Danielle, because when you go and play and you're in doubt or you just need a shot to place the ball somewhere, you use your 7.
Yeah.
But just to elaborate a little bit on that, Danielle, I always ask the golfer, what is your favorite club? Like Danielle would say, my 7. I say, would you like to know what is Claude's favorite club? Of course, they say, yes.
Yes.
I say, it's the club that I have in my hands right now for the shot that I will do. If I need an 8, Danielle, I fell in love with my 8. If I need a 3-wood, guess what I'm in love with?
Your
3-wood.
That's a really good mindset, and I need to work on that. Oh, thank you so much, Claude. You bring so much entertainment in addition to very good information. I have one final thought. You say, I asked one of the junior players who I coach, what makes you very happy outside of golf? And the answer was shopping. So I suggested to her to go shopping between shots. What type of dress she wants for her graduation party? What color? What shoes? Any jewelry? And she shared with me that this way of managing herself between shots, where all of us lose it anyway, made more relaxation a part of her feelings, and she played better. I think we should all remember that. Go to your happy place in between shots, whatever it is. Claude Rousseau, thank you so much for your fabulous insight.
Thank you so much to invite me. It's such a pleasure sharing information about this game we all love so much. Aloha.
Aloha. All right, we're coming back with Steve Greiner, PGA, founder of Links to Freedom, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamila Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at RadioGolfClub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
All right, first off, there are currently over 3.7 million disabled veterans, maybe higher, a little lower, but it's all in the United States. Many of them struggling to find a sense of normalcy and reconnect with civilian life and their families. The Links to Freedom Golf Foundation was formed to implement wounded warrior and disabled veteran rehabilitative golf programs at military and civilian golf facilities nationwide to help aid in that struggle. Steve Greiner, PGA, is founder of Links to Freedom. He's a 2016 National Patriot Award recipient and creator of PGA Best Practices Golf Program that's used by all the Wounded Warrior programs. Welcome into the clubhouse, Steve.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
Ah, good. It's a beautiful day for a round of golf in Hawaii right now, but it could get a little bit windy. You know, when it's 24 miles per hour hitting your, you might be a little bit difficult. Yes. How are you? How's the weather?
It's a gorgeous day here today, but I can't say it's been the most fun winter I've ever had.
Why? First of all, where are you?
I'm in Virginia.
Oh.
I live a little further from D.C. where I do the programs. You know, we started at Fort Belvoir, which is very close to D.C. and the Pentagon. And I moved out toward Charlottesville, but we've had a tough, it was just ice for over a month.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about the eastern seaboard being either under 2 or 3 feet of snow or glassy ice.
And people get crabby when they can't play golf, and I'm one of them.
Yeah, and you can't go shopping.
Yeah, well, that's never been my big thing, but I like to hit golf balls.
You know, that's so much. So your golf program, did I overestimate the number of disabled veterans?
No, I believe our research, they're not all in one of our programs.
But of course.
I think that's a good number. And more importantly, I think what happened with us was we're very tied into military installations. So we were dealing, especially during Iraq and Afghanistan, we were dealing with very severely wounded because there was so much combat going on.
Yeah.
And what's happened over the years, because we're doing this, we're getting up to this is going to be our 19th year. What's happening now is a lot of the people in our programs had severe injuries. They've been discharged. You know, they're veterans. And but there is a problem with suicide, depression, you know, domestic issues and so forth. So I feel like hopefully, and today of all days, interesting to say this, hopefully our troops will not be committed to combat. But now we're dealing primarily with the aftermath, which is just as important.
You know, and I'm going to read a quote that I have here from you. I believe the golf program got me out of the barracks, around people, and socializing a bit. Now, this is a gentleman, I assume, who has gone with your program, Links to Freedom, wherever he was. But what the second sentence said to me just hit me hard. For the first time since being injured, my son is not afraid of me or me afraid of him. Wow.
Well, that's kind of what it's all about. And it's a great one to bring up because there are so many stories, hundreds. I mean, we've had thousands of people go through our program since we started. But at first I thought it was about the golf aspect, teaching people with serious injury, and it is. But to a large degree, it's more about the support, the coaching, the mentoring, and you really want people in this situation to get out and get involved in anything, really. But golf has proven to be incredible for returning our troops to the life they intended to live had they not gotten injured.
Yeah. And it links to freedom. Our vision is to be America's leader in supporting the mental, social, emotional, and physical rehabilitative needs of wounded warriors, disabled veterans, their families, and caregivers. And I talk about golf also, you know, when you take kids and put them in, you know, in a kid program, they just come out with so much better social experiences. They become more cooperative, just on so many different levels. Golf helps children grow up and understand more about, you know, sharing space, for instance.
And how to officiate your own life.
Yeah, that's
really
good.
In golf, we have an honor system and the core values that First Tee has, and it's really an incredible thing how, unfortunately, it took wars, but we're finding out just how great the game is in a way we didn't think it could be.
Yeah,
and I kind of did this at first just to give back because I was the director of golf at a 45-hole military facility, and my patrons were getting deployed, and we had a warrior unit. Actually, Fort Belvoir has a huge wounded warrior operation on its installation, and I was just trying to give back, and this is back in 07 or so into 08, and then I realized, wow, there are so many things that we can do with the game to help people get back on track, to complement their physical therapy, and It's been just a labor of love. You're always sad that you need programs like that, but and hopefully someday we won't. But if we do, it's really heartwarming to see how many people have gotten involved in the golf community to help the troops.
We are KORL, Waianae, Honolulu. So you have, where do we go to find out about Links to Freedom?
We have linkstofreedom.org, all one word, Links to Freedom, T-O, L-I-N-K-S-T-O, freedom.org. We have a new video that I would urge your listeners, because I'm really proud of it. One thing that has happened when you've been doing this for a long time is when you're the people that counted on you to help them, when they start helping others. So in other words, we've had several people in the last few years trying to become LPGA or PGA professionals that will teach in our program. So they are now using what helped them to help their comrades. And that's really, that's sort of the connection that makes it so great. The nature of golf, the social aspect, the mentoring aspect. And now when you have wounded warriors who could have been thinking dark things, and now they're excited and they want to teach golf to their fellow troops, that's an awesome thing. So we have a video that I'm really proud of, and it kind of tells where we are now after doing this for 19 years.
And linkstofreedom.com. That's correct?
Org.
Excuse me. I was afraid I did that. Linkstofreedom.org.
We do that a lot.
Yeah, we assume one thing, but for .org is organizations,
correct.
Yeah. Linkstofreedom.org is where you'll find the video and a lot of information. Now, the spring program, U.S. Army program, Fort Belvoir, Fort Bragg, Fort Sam Houston, Fort Bliss, registration's open now, March through May. Does that work?
Yeah, so they won't all start exactly the same time, but all the places we collaborate with. People that we know, PGA Pros, PGA Hope, other similar type programs. We've got a couple in Baltimore and Andrews that we collaborate on. And I am a little disappointed that we haven't gotten our way out to Hawaii.
Me
so,
too.
Danielle, we have to work on that.
Yeah, but, I think so. Yes.
But March, this month for the spring. Spring will go mostly March to June, April to June. And then we take a break, and then the fall for most places goes August to October.
Nice. So we do two opportunities. And it does get hot in the summer, doesn't it?
Humid, very humid. It's a weird kind of hot, but yes. Not temperature maybe like Arizona or something, but it gets very high humidity, so we kind of avoid the dead of summer for programming.
Smart. Now, you've also got a commemorative golf bag that is available online. And is it, it's made by Ping?
Yes, Ping did a golf bag. Now, we've been connected with Ping through Move United, which is a foundation much like Links to Freedom, but for all sports. And they're very wheelchair basketball and skiing oriented, but they partner with us on golf, and they have a good relationship with Ping. And one of the things that I would tell your avid golfers here, that even if you're not a wounded warrior, but you're a person that has disabilities or severe injuries that you're dealing with, whether it be knees, back, hip, or whatever. We all know that Ping was one of the pioneers of fitting, but they've also been a pioneer of fitting people with severe injuries. They've been very helpful to our program, and most of it, the way they do it, it's just beautiful to watch, because they clearly have the troops first. They don't like to make a big deal out of it, but I would say that a lot of your listeners, if if they're dealing with stuff and they want to make sure they're fitted right, I would consider paying. They're very advanced in that particular arena, and they've helped a lot of our wounded warriors.
That's great. And you also have an annual flagship tournament, Winchester Country Club, in the fall. You're going to come out with the...
We have the Links to Freedom Cup, which has kind of morphed. It was separate from Winchester. Now we're sort of putting them together. And we are working on some different events that we have not finalized. They'll be on the website. But in the Veterans Day time frame, we'll have a big event at Winchester, which has been a real home run for supporting Links to Freedom for years now.
Where is that country club?
It's about an hour and 15 minutes hole high from the center of Washington, D.C.
Wow. Okay. I just, you know, I haven't been to the East Coast in, oh, I don't know, since I was born in New York City, New York.
Well, you were at my program in Fort Belvoir.
Yeah.
That was a special day.
Yes.
And hopefully your son is doing well, and you're a military mom, so you're special in my heart.
26 years, and the boy is has decided to leave the Army.
He's going to retire.
He's going to retire. Yeah, you know, I was surprised. It's like, son, you're retiring before I'm retiring.
Uh-huh.
I should have gone into the military.
If he's like most of my patrons and military personnel, he'll probably find something to do, a second career.
Oh, for sure. Yes. He's one of those
and
guys.
Then, that's where a lot have become. Some of them, that's where they got through the program. You know how golf gets in your blood. So we start using golf to help them. And next thing you know, they're setting goals and they want to get better and play tournaments. And some even want to try to become PGA teachers and coaches and give back, which is, that's like music to my ears when I hear that.
You also have sponsorship levels to meet sponsors' objectives. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, we do. When we have the event, there'll be it'll be on the website. We have different packages for someone that's interested in sponsoring just the golf tournament. And then also on our website, and we might be in the process of changing it and from 25 to 26. I didn't check, but I'm pretty sure it's all updated. But we'll have sponsors because golf tournaments are part of it. But every program at every location, we have a 16-week coaching, mentoring, 16 two-hour classes at every location. And every location has a practice program, and every location has a playing program so that they can practice and play what they learned in the 16 two-hour classes. And frequently we'll also have a weekday league so they can go out with the people in the program and play golf. So we're trying to do a lot of programs in this space, if you will, foundations using golf. A lot of them are doing more clinics for larger audiences. We're trying to work with severely injured on a regular basis and really, you know, really be available to them frequently. And so that's one of the things. We go in depth with our programs, and I think maybe some of the others, and I'm not saying that this isn't good. It has a lot to do with what your goals are, what your population is, but we're really trying to help specifically with the to assist in the rehabilitation of severely wounded, ill, and injured. And to do that, we feel like we have to work with them in an enhanced way.
Right on. Linkstofreedom.org. That's where you go to find out a lot more. Steve Greiner, PGA, founder of Links to Freedom. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Great. Thank you, Danielle, and thank you for all you do.
Thank you. We'll be back after this. We're going to Italy, Napoli, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
All right. So, you know, there is something called smart tools. Yeah, no, seriously, smart tools, not just a hammer. It's a smart hammer. Come and see Aloha Power's new selection of smart tools. It's time, well, you know, maybe to retire those big box tools that you've had for a long time. Riding and walking mowers also there, chainsaws, whackers, trimmers, and a whole lot more. We're talking weed whackers, of course. We have service, parts, accessories for every rider, from home to commercial sized. You know, you see those big ones along the highway. Commercial sized, mow it, blow it, bag it, and you're done. You mow it all, you get the little blower and you put it all together, you put it in the bag and you're done, and you didn't hurt your back. So see, that's what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email, claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458, and have more fun playing golf.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Indeed. All right, Michael Patrick Shields, my travel guru extraordinaire, Hollywood insider. His home base is Beverly Hills, but I don't know if he's ever home. Because the last time we talked, he was in Ireland. And now we're going to Napoli, Italy, Naples. You know, Naples and Italy, yes. Michael Patrick Shields, welcome into the clubhouse.
Buongiorno, come sta, piacere conoscerti.
You've been where there 2 days and you're already speaking Italian.
Bene, va bene. Naples, which really means new city, because it used to be called Parthenope, which means mermaid or siren. And so Napoli was calling me like a siren, like a mermaid, because I hadn't been there yet. And I left Ireland and came over for a couple of days to check the place out. And in order to do that with any measure of sensibility, I went to icbellagio.com, which I always do. That stands for Italian Connection, icbellagio.com. And I said, what can I do with 2 full days and 3 nights in Naples? And they licked their chops and said, let us show you what you can do. And here I am. And I advise, if you're going to Italy, as soon as we get done with this interview, go online, check out IC Bellagio, and they will make it happen for you however you want it to fit. Short, you want to spend a month, you want to spend a day, you want to go to the Vatican, you don't want to wait in line, you don't want to miss anything. That's the way to do it, because it's worked for me now for well over 10 years.
Wow. What do you like most about Naples?
Well, people told me this, and I found it to be true here. It's unlike Italy. What I mean is it's very Italian, of course, but in a Neapolitan sort of way. And if you look at history, Italy was, you know, a series of kingdoms, and so they were very different. And this particular kingdom was captured and controlled by different cultures. So it's a mishmash. It's both beautiful and frustrating at the same time, and that's how they love it, because it has intrigue. It's got some edge.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I'm standing right now at the Hotel di Bonart, it's called B-O-N-A-R-T, Hotel di Bonart, which is like an art gallery. It's a historic building, but it's now a hotel. Contemporary, beautiful, and it's on a cliffside overlooking the Bay of Naples, and on the horizon, it's like you're looking at, I don't know, Kauai. It's the Isle of Capri, which a lot of people like to go to when they come here. The Amalfi Coast is just up the stretch, too, and, of course, Mount Vesuvius to the left, which has its own bit of history. So it's an interesting region in addition to just being an exciting, and I do mean exciting, town.
Now, I was looking at a photo, and I saw the volcanoes. You know, it's like, oh, wow, they have volcanoes, too. Vesuvius.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of that. And Vesuvius gets all the attention, but there are lots of volcanoes around the area that made the terrain what it is. And I suggested to my IC Bellagio guide, who took me on a wonderful walking tour, that the people are kind of volcanic, too, because they're very demonstrative. If you see people in the street, they might be talking loudly with their hands. And he says, oh, they're not arguing. They're just talking. And when they're done talking, that's perfectly fine. They might sit down and have a pizza. And it's a good place to do it because pizza was born right here in Naples. And so I made a pilgrimage, just like you would go, I guess, to get a Mai Tai where it was born in Hawaii. I went to Antico Pizzeria Port Alba, where they invented the margarita pizza. And you might think if you're in the west coast of the U.S., margarita. Yeah, I'll have a margarita with my margarita pizza, but it's called that in honor of Queen Margarita. And you might never look at this kind of pizza the same way again, but the reason it is red, white, and green is to represent the colors of the Italian flag. The whiteness of the cheese, the redness of the sauce,
wow,
and the green, you know, I think it's basil or whatever that is put on top, is meant to represent the flag.
That's beautiful. I'd never thought about that. You know, I just think of the colors of that the country chose. But there's something behind all of that. I was reading something about things that you shouldn't do if you're going to go to Napoli, Italy, or Naples. Avoid overpacking or rushing between too many cities. Or eating at restaurants with tourist menus or English-only signs. And by the way, cappuccino is not to be ordered after 11 a.m. because it's a morning. It's a breakfast drink. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Over-tipping.
Well, the coffee, they take that very seriously because the coffee is meant to help with the digestion.
Uh-huh.
And so you wouldn't want cream in the evening with your dinner when you're trying to settle down. Actually, grappa is the best thing you can eat after a meal to take away some of the fullness.
What is the grappa?
To drink. Grappa is made from the skins and stems of grapes, and it seems like it's very strong, but it's strong for a reason, because it helps take away that fullness after you eat that margarita pizza.
Wow, yes. The entire pizza.
They don't give you a slice, by the way, Danielle. You get the whole pizza when you order it.
Another thing
they
is...
They do. It's on one plate, one big round pizza.
I'm not surprised, actually. Yes, you're not going to be on
a... Well, it's very thin, you know. It's not Chicago style, that's for sure.
Oh, well, but... You want to have the cheese and whatever is going on top. What do they usually put on top of a pizza?
Exactly what you just said. You mean, oh, by the way, don't talk anything about pineapple on a pizza when you're here. They don't want to hear any part of that. You can put, make it a pizza diavola with pepperoni and such. They give you the options, but the traditional is the straight margarita pizza. And, you know, the other thing you follow it up with, now this was really cool. I know that you've heard of gelato, and it's kind of like ice cream, but sure. It's made a little differently. They take it very seriously here, gelato. And so right around the corner from one of the pizza places, and I eat pizza every night, by the way, to try some of the different places. But there was a place called North Pole Gelato. And it was right around the corner from one of the, and turns out it's four generations of gelato. Antonio Rayo is the man who is the proprietor in this generation. And so I wanted to take some back to the hotel with me, to Hotel de Bonart. And I didn't want to get a cup. You know, normally they put it in that little cup and it's sticking up and it would overflow. So I asked if I could get takeaway gelato. They brought out, Danielle, a little styrofoam container.
Ooh.
You know, like a cooler that you'd
yeah.
use to put beer in and all that? It was a styrofoam container. And they filled it up with gelato. And then they wrapped it like it was a birthday present in striped wrapping paper.
Wow.
And then they put it in a beautiful bag that said, you know, North Pole Gelato and the address and everything.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, this is the most serious takeaway of gelato I've ever seen, because it was in the little cooler and wrapped like a present. It was really special.
And yeah.
So that was, to me, super cool.
Yeah. Now, what is the hotel you're staying at? Say it again.
It's called the Hotel de Bonart, B-O-N-A-R-T. It's part of the Hilton collection. It's easy to remember because bon art means good art in the French, I guess you would say. But it's full of art, so it's a beautiful place
wow.
inside and out. And, you know, speaking of beautiful art, if I may,
yeah, of course,
something
yeah.
that I knew in my mind that I was going to see, but I didn't realize how it would affect me until I saw it, is called the Cristo Velato, the Veiled Christ.
Oh, wow.
And get yourself a ticket as soon as you get to town online. It's only 10 euro, and it is at the San Severo Museum, which is a very, very tiny, it's more like a crypt than a museum. But this is 1753 sculpture of Christ after he's crucified with a veil across his body. And so you walk in as if you're walking into a funeral home, say, but it's a church, a tiny, tiny church. And in this room, as you look at this work, this piece of work, and you go around it, around the ropes, around, I went around, I don't know, 5-6 times, I couldn't believe the level of detail that a human being could make, where it looks like a human laying under a veil. And it's hard to describe if you go online and look at it, but if you get to see this in person, and there are other sculptures in there, like, ask yourself, how do you make a marble sculpture of a man trying to escape a fishing net? Okay, three-dimensional, right?
Yeah.
Just think about how do you do that? It's a miracle.
Yeah, and the fact that they can make the person look like a living body blows my mind. You know, it's like you come upon this statue, but it's not. You feel like when you look at the face, you look at the muscles, you look at the body, it feels alive. And that always takes, you know, my breath away and kind of tears me up a little bit at times.
No question about it. It was a very, very inspirational and sobering, and, you know, and in terms of something lively and authentic, I mean, you're talking artwork like you'll never see anywhere else in person. So I would put that on. I'm sure IC Bellagio will advise that and can arrange the tickets for you too. And then, you know, and then go and feel the real lifeblood in the morning too. If you go to the Pignaseca Market, there are people, you know, shouting out and selling fruits and vegetables and lemons and fish. And that's like the real, like, you know, get your hands in there to a true Italian market, not Whole Foods. We're talking like,
yes.
you know, right out of the sea kind of stuff.
I totally understand. I feel like I'm there with you. Michael Patrick Shields, my travel guru extraordinaire. You're taking me to places I want to go. I got to ask a couple more questions because, you know, when I was going through the pages of whatever, over tipping is not, it's a bad thing. Rounding up is fine, it said, but don't over tip. I was surprised. Dress modestly if you're visiting churches. Very nice.
Uh-huh.
And here's the one that do not drive into city center restricted zones. Can you just see?
That can be really tricky because some of the roads are really narrow. And I've had this happen too in Sicily where I thought, am I allowed to drive on this street? The hotel's back here. So it can be tricky. Get a driver from IC Bellagio and you won't have to worry about it. And by the way, when you're in Naples, you better keep your head on a swivel because those Vespas go zooming through the streets. And you can't even believe it. These people are daredevils. And I'm surprised more people don't get run over. But and by the way, one thing cool too, the world will see the America's Cup from Naples next year, the sailboat racing. So that's coming up, and that will be a big, big event for Italy.
Wow.
They just had the Olympics.
Yeah.
And they have the America's Cup coming next.
You know, and the Olympics were fabulous watching. It was awesome. Very well produced. Now, where are you off to next?
I'm going to Cactus League Baseball next weekend to go and see all the Major League Baseball teams at the Scottsdale and Phoenix area.
Oh.
I'll probably get to about 5 different ballparks just to have a look because I've never been there.
Wow.
And this is the beauty of, that's a great golf area too, isn't it?
It is. It's the beauty of being Michael Patrick Shields and traveling. Do you ever get home?
Home is where I am, and home is when I'm with you for 25 years now on your show.
Woo! Isn't that... Oh, God, yes. Yeah. Yes. I want to travel with you one day. One day, you know, and catch up with you somewhere.
I've been practicing all your Italian, so it sounds like you're ready to rock. No cappuccino in the afternoon.
No cappuccino in the afternoon, only for the mornings, because you don't want to mess up your digestive system. The Italians, they're all about that. I got to wrap up the show. It's already time to go.
Oh.
I know. It goes so fast. Michael Patrick Shields.
Ciao, Bella.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Arrivederci. Ciao, Bella.
Ciao. All right. We got to thank our sponsors. The Newtown Driving Range. That's right. The Newtown Driving Range. You got to warm up before you round, or it's preferable. You don't got to. Or wind down after work. You know, where you get all the frustrations. I know people who go to the spa or to the place, you know, where they can exercise, whatever it happens to be. But you can also go hit balls at the Newtown Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, good fun. Aloha Power, work smarter, faster, and easier. Without our selection of riding and walking mowers, chainsaws, whackers, and a whole lot more, you can get out there and work smarter, faster, and easier with those wonderful opportunities that you'll have. Selecting your riding and walking mower, your chainsaw, your whacker, you know, stuff that you've been using at home for a long time, maybe a little bit beat up. Maybe it's time to check it out. Go check it out. Aloha Power Equipment. Get yours today, right there. Open Monday through Saturday, Evilei next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. You'd be surprised how many times people have said, oh, you know, we've got a group going out to the golf course. It could be in any office. And would you like to join us? You can meet people and get to know people and just have a new experience when you go and get involved in the game of golf. That's Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. The gift that lasts forever, and it's for self, health, friendship, and family. Go golf. Oh, yes. And Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Teaching Professional, Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea Maui. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2026.